Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and I'm joined by PC Richard Stambolian.
I'm the old man that owns PC Richards. It's 1972. Can I interest you in a color television?
Color television? What is this, the future?
It's a hot new thing.
Rich is on, majority of our audience has no idea what PC Richards is. It's a appliance store here in Queens and in Brooklyn. I think they're in Connecticut and Jersey also. Very local electronic shop that's still in business somehow. They've been around for 120 years, and it's the same old man running the website from 120 years ago. You're going to say there was no website 120 years ago. I'm going to say yes, and that's why their website doesn't work. It's absolutely done now. 108 years of honesty, integrity, and reliability. Rich is trying to get a PlayStation 5 right now. I think that dream is over.
No, the dream, it wasn't really a dream to begin with. I was just like, let me see if I could do this before the show starts and during the show and distract myself. If I'm not talking, I'm trying to call PC Richard.
You're trying to call. You got a PlayStation back there?
Can you check the back? I know you got one. I know
you
got
one. You asked him to check the back?
Oh, that's mad old school. I got a question for you. Do you think the internet in 1909 was just a piece of paper stapled to like a telephone pole?
That's exactly what it was.
I got to check the internet.
We're starting to show off on a good note. Bachelor 3000 with 299 to us. Thank you, Bachelor 3000. Guys, this is I guess our second show. We did a show on Saturday. We did a watch along. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun during the watch along. Absolutely love doing it with you guys. And we're doing this early on a Thursday morning because we both have a crazy day. The holiday season really picks up for both of us. And I'm shocked how busy both of us are still in COVID times. But we wanted to do a show for you guys because a lot is going on in pro wrestling. Last night's shows, AEW was good. NXT was weird. They did a bizarre title switch. First time they kind of treated a major NXT title as a joke. I want to talk about that. Of course, I want to talk about AEW TV and everything that's leading to the John Moxley Kenny Omega pro wrestling match, a pro wrestling match. No,
pro wrestling match.
So yeah. What we're gonna do here? We're gonna go through Raw. Raw sucked, dude. It was bad. It was not good.
This just in. Yeah. Raw was terrible.
Thank you. Raw was really terrible. I did not enjoy that show whatsoever. It had one of the lowest male viewerships in history of the show. Tremendous amount of men tuned out after the first hour, about 25% tuned out. And I was one of those people. I could not continue watching that show. I ended up watching the rest of it on, after the fact, on rerun, but it was very difficult for me to watch that show. How did you feel watching it?
I don't want to say bored, but it's at this point, I feel like Raw is background noise. I really hate to say that. And I try to watch wrestling without like any kind of like bias, you know, like I just want to watch good wrestling. You know, I'm not like, oh, let's see how WWE screws everything up again. I don't give a shit about that. Yeah. I just want to be entertained. It started out fine, you know, but then like I just feel like they're really not putting anything out there that is really going to grab your attention. And I say that because I think it's definitely a case of too many cooks in the kitchen. And whenever they announce, hey, we're here for the fans, we're doing something crazy for you, it works for a week, and then it goes back to status quo after that, right?
Yeah, it seems like that's always the case here. You know, there's so many moving parts on that show, and do you think it has a, like you mentioned, too many cooks in the kitchen. Do you think it's too many cooks making major decisions, or do you think it's too many writers? You know, it's the line of how it works. We've discussed how it works there, where you have an idea, you present it, it gets modified, it gets chopped. By the time the final version of it comes out on TV, it's totally warped and not what you had presented. So is it a case of that? Because we're seeing, you know, with AEW, there's not a gigantic booking committee. And listen, I hate doing these comparisons with WWE and AEW because a lot of people lose their freaking minds because they think we're being biased or something. But I got to tell you, it is a much easier show for me to watch every single week. Why? Why is that? We cover wrestling. I love wrestling. Why is one better than the other one to me? And it really has to do with the fact that it's a quicker show. It's a different pace. And it's not convoluted. Even though AEW does do some stuff that I don't like, which we're going to talk about, I don't get how Raw has gone so far off the deep end with delivering a message.
Yeah, it's a little strange. And, you know, like just to further the point I made, and I do think it's too many cooks in the kitchen and it's too many people wanting to get their stuff in. And then it ends up just being like a bland compromise. You know, like how different do you think the show would be if Vince turned around and said, we're going to keep two writers, everybody else is fired. I'm maybe taking a step back. Hunter's kind of more in charge. And you know what? Guess what? We're kind of getting away. We're getting away from scripted promos. Go out there and do your thing.
Well,
how different do you think the show would be?
It would be very similar to how NXT is structured.
Okay.
Very similar to how NXT is structured. Unfortunately, by the way, NXT has been not, I'm not very happy with the TV. I'm having a lot of audio issues here. Sorry, guys.
You do sound good though.
I just fixed it. I realized that my son played with the headphone amp, so I have to readjust everything now. So, you know, NXT has always done a great job at delivering, here's the key program, here's the secondary program, here's what's coming up to build into programs with those guys. But since going to 2 hours and being on USA, they've taken a lot of the bad habits of regular WWE television and incorporated it into NXT. Great example, right? Mm-hmm. The NXT titles are always treated seriously. All the titles are treated seriously. The women's title, the men's title, tag title, always very serious. They don't make this into a joke. And what do we see this week on TV? Johnny Gargano comes out there, plays spin the wheel, picks an opponent. It's Leon Ruff, a guy that nobody knows, right, virtually. Right. The guy was a jobber last week. He got his ass handed to him. And he comes and beats Johnny Gargano and becomes a new North American champion. This is obviously, they're going to flip-flop this title back. But that is not something you've ever seen on NXT.
You don't agree with it. You don't like the direction that they went in.
I think it's... Okay, you know where I would have agreed with it? This is how I would have agreed with it. If they have taken this guy, put him on TV last week, and he won. Or... they had never shown him on TV. He comes in, beats him in a fluke, and now you just created a new star. You're like, oh, wow, who is this guy? He just beat Johnny Gargano, one of the best in the world. The guy that we've been convinced that, you know, he's the top guy in this company, in NXT. If they had done it that way, it would be more believable. I don't like it because now he's being used as a pawn, as a comedy gimmick. He puts the title on him. The title falls because he's too skinny for it. He's tripping over the belt. It just looked ridiculous.
You didn't like it, I take it.
I did not like it. I did not like it. However, you know, there's so many other elements that I do like. I just feel like the show has... they need to move the day. Let me just say that. NXT needs to move the day because when you compare the two shows next to each other, like NXT has a more underground look. That's always been the thing. It's a little darker, the colors... there's not too much lighting happening. It has a yellow tinge to it. While, you know, AEW is bright and colorful and big and loud. So they're not benefiting from this. And I think if they move the day to another day, it would be way better for them.
I'll agree with that. I think just a whole reset of everything would be a little better. And my personal feelings about NXT is that it seems like they're skewing more toward how the other two brands are booked and presented.
Yes.
You know, like NXT, and I really hate to say this, but NXT has been a little more on the bland side in the last few months. It went from must see wrestling to, all right, this is kind of cool. You know, like this feels like SmackDown felt like a couple of years ago, where it was like, all right, this is kind of cool. It's got like a new coat of paint on it. Let's see where it goes. I feel like it lost a lot of that dynamic aspect that we really enjoyed as wrestling fans, you
just
know,
compare 2016 NXT to this.
Oh, forget it. It's apples and oranges. Yeah.
2016 NXT versus this, it's a whole different ballgame. I mean, I'm looking, and I bring that up because all these guys, like, I'm looking at this poster that I have here. Rich and I went to, they did a show in the Garden Theater. It was a weird show, weird placement for everything, but I'm looking at this card here. You had Nakamura and DIY versus Samoa Joe and The Revival. You had Asuka, Ember Moon, Cedric, Bobby Roode, Ty Dillinger, Eric Young. Every single one of these matches you were into. TM61 versus Sanity. I mean, and not every one of those, like the top was really star heavy, but everybody else became a star somewhere. And it was a very different product. It was presented as this is pro wrestling. And it really brought back a lot of people to WWE. I think a ton of viewers discovered NXT and they were back into pro wrestling.
Yeah, dude. I agree with that. But do you think NXT at some point was used as a gotcha to get people back into Raw and SmackDown?
I mean, that's always been the thing, right? That it's interesting how they, in the history of NXT and where it evolved, it was just going to be independent. It was going to be, you know, they wanted to put this on TV. FCW didn't make sense to call it FCW. So they called it something else. They put it on the network. It was a 1 hour show and people were into it. They're like, oh, this guy's cool, because it was different wrestling. It was actual wrestling. It wasn't presenting WWE product. They got bigger. I would say from 2016 to 2018, that was really their peak. 2019, I would say that was their real peak. And now they're just another WWE product. It looks like a WWE show. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I can't get into it as much. And this isn't saying that the shows are bad, because the shows are very good. I just can't get into it because of the presentation now.
Okay, that's interesting. How do you feel about the match quality?
The match qualities are always good, but they also don't really have the star power. They moved everybody to the main roster. And what happened there? Where's Matt Riddle? What is he doing?
He's on the Survivor Series team.
But useless, right? Like, this is a guy that people were saying is the next Kerry Von Erich. We spoke about there's nobody in pro wrestling that picked it up at that pace other than Kurt Angle.
Like, here's a
this
question.
This is something we discussed.
You.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Do you think he should have had a run with the NXT championship?
130%. Like, yeah. He should have still been in NXT. If you're creating a legitimate secondary brand, what good has Matt Riddle done to the main product compared to what good he would have done to NXT? Think of it that way. That's how I see it.
I agree with you 100%. I have another point that I'd like to make too about that is, NXT a few years ago was their farm system for the most part, right? And you had guys that stayed down there for quite some time before, you know, they made it to the main roster, which was kind of like, I don't want to say few and far between, but it took a while for Finn to come up, right? It took a little bit for Joe to come up. It took a little bit for Kevin Owens to come up.
They
it took
had
a little
runs
bit for Sammy to come up.
Yeah.
They had solid runs and then they came up. Now it just seems like, okay, now that people love NXT, let's try to take these guys from their runs, put them on the main roster just to take up space. Like Keith Lee, as much as I love Keith Lee, he's skewing towards being just another body.
Another guy. Yeah.
You know,
another
like
guy.
Just another dude.
Matt Riddle is another example. So that is the problem here. That is a major problem. So you've taken a big star. A big star in the company, in NXT. You know, the guy is very talented. Everybody's thought, you know, he has that indie hype. He did unbelievable in NXT, and you just removed him and you put him on the main roster. He came out strong. This is a guy that was doing a face to face with Roman Reigns and people were losing their freaking minds last year.
Right.
And now he's just another disconnected body in that on that roster. And that's not good. That's not good at all, because it tells you that they don't know how to take a talent that's already established and inject them into their product. They don't have that ability anymore for whatever reason it is. Because what is the last guy that they brought up from NXT that became an outright star immediately?
Ooh, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Now, Kevin Owens?
Kevin Owens? It would probably be that class. Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, and let's say Samoa Joe, right? But they're all part of that same graduating class, technically.
Right,
Nakamura,
right,
look what they did to that poor guy. Andrade. Nakamura.
Andrade, do you count Drew?
You know what? Yes, Drew was done. Drew was done very. Maybe Drew was the last guy. Drew's probably the most successful guy that they've had. Right? Who's a guy? But, that's a great question. Who's a guy in modern NXT? Right? I'm not. I'm not talking about. I'm not going to talk about. You know, Seth Rollins and that. Like the era that they were popular. Who's a guy that went to the main roster and became a huge star? Like the guy. Probably it's just. I'm not going to count Seth because he's part of that early years. He was not an NXT guy. He was an FCW guy. It would probably be. You're right. It's true, right?
But does he count as a true NXT guy since he was on the main roster for years, was called the Chosen One, got fired, did the indie stuff, came back to NXT. They rewarded him in that weird WWE way for sticking to his guns, right?
But the women, however, have all become stars. If you think about it, look at the product that they got. Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley, Becky, great examples of this. But that's because there was a demand for it. There was no roster. They didn't really have a strong women's roster. So they all became stars because of how different they were for the time. If we're talking about the men, which is already an established product of stars in that company.
Yeah.
Really, you're not batting well.
Well, the women's issue is very interesting because it's rare that you see like a one at a time call up, you know. For some reason, like the women are always brought up in groups, you know. I think Paige may have been that one standout because she was so popular in NXT at the time, you know, and all eyes were on her, and then her coming out and beating AJ Lee for the title was really, really cool. You know, but then fast forward a little bit into the future, you had Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley, and Becky kind of debut around the same time, right? Like within at least 2 or 3 months of each other. You know, it wasn't like it wasn't like the opposite end of the spectrum where you kind of see like AEW's women's division is built in, but it needs some work. And then all of a sudden you have Thunder Rosa show up. All of a sudden you have Serena Deeb show up. You know, it's like they're pacing it out little by little. It's a very interesting thing that I feel like the WWE women's wrestling environment is completely different than the men's, right?
No. They're doing a better job with the women's booking, because remember, how many hands is that going through? It's only a handful of writers. You got one key writer, one secondary writer, and then just and Vince isn't as hyper focused on the women. So they're able, like Sasha and Bayley, my God, what a great act. You know, that's a great story from beginning to end, that they've beginning of their careers to now, they've always been together in some capacity. And they've really filled in the blanks for not having Charlotte and Becky and Ronda on that roster. Think about, you know, you lost three key components to this whole women's boom, and they've done an unbelievable job. You know, Rhea Ripley, Toni Storm, another two great names, but they're not in that position right now on the main roster. But again, you've had Matt Riddle. Here's a great Matt Riddle should be a top guy in that company. He should be the number one, number two, number three guy right now in that company. I mean, I get it. Obviously, he's going through some legal issues, you know, which I'm sure play a part in this to some capacity. But even before that, we saw how they were positioning him. Keith Lee, there's no excuse on why this guy is looking like everybody else. There is no excuse whatsoever. Samoa Joe, great example. He's older, maybe a little injury prone, but this guy should have had a top roster run. Instead, they position you in a way, and then you're gone, and then you're back a little bit, and then you're gone. They're just pawns in the game that they have, where Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns are the top guys, and nobody else.
Well, that's I think that's the problem that, you know, it's almost like the elephant in the room. In modern wrestling, right? Where WWE is they you will be successful if they want you to be successful. It's very rare that somebody has enough fan power behind them that they will push through to the top.
Listen, regardless Daniel Bryan, of what right?
perfect example,
that Daniel Bryan run should have happened, what would you say, 4 months before it happened?
I don't know, dude.
They had him lose to Randy Orton a bunch of times, and then he got screwed. Triple H screwed him. He was never that guy. And the only, and even when they gave it because the fans were behind him, the plan was never to have him hold a title. It's another Chris Benoit scenario. Chris Benoit was never intended to be that guy. They gave the title because to shut the fans up in some capacity and to get that cheap, you know, that small pop from this. Uh-huh. But he was never going to be the guy that leads that title. And you know how you know that? You know that by who he was facing after the fact. And same thing with Daniel Bryan. Who did he face his first program out? Kane.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Why?
It wasn't high profile. I forgot about that. You know what else was kind of interesting that WWE did during the Daniel Bryan run that I thought like it was a weird move having him be abducted by the Wyatts?
And he joined the Wyatts, and he still got it freaking over, right? He became one of the Wyatts, and he still got it over.
Now, do you think I'm sure it wasn't the office doing everything in their power to try and, like, stop the run, but do you think it was a happy accident that he ended up having as great a WrestleMania as he did, despite the fact that the office seemed like they didn't really give a shit about Daniel Bryan, and they really at the end, I think that was the year that it was supposed to be like all about Batista's right?
year. Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I know we're going backwards, but this
that's fine.
What we're discussing today plays a big part in the current product. Daniel Bryan's run was an utter fluke, and they would say the same thing. You know, great example of this is also Kofi. Kofi's another example of appeasing the fans. They did it for whatever reason they did it. They pushed them. I would, you know, and I got a lot of crap for saying this, right? And I got so much shit when he won the title, and I said this. It was, does he deserve the position? Yeah. The guy worked super hard. Super, super hard. But is he the world champion? You want to get your product over. You want to get this big push. He was not a believable world champion to me. And that takes nothing away from the guy. Like, I think he's phenomenal. But I don't think he's a world champion act. And you can't tell me that he is when you look at the legacy. You know, you're looking at guys like The Rock and Steve Austin and Brock Lesnar and Eddie Guerrero. Do you think Kofi Kingston is on that level? The answer is no, he's not. But they did it to appease the fans. They never had a real program for him. The whole point was, well, Brock Lesnar's going to come back and he's going to murder him in 30 seconds. And that shows you what they think of him. They gave the title on him, but it didn't mean anything.
Well, do you feel the same way about Kevin Owens at winning the Universal title and then losing to Goldberg in like a minute?
Well, you know, what's funny about that, I would say that I don't blame WWE for that because the whole thing got screwed up, right? That whole first Universal title run. With Finn getting hurt, then Owens getting it, all of it was screwed up. It got all wacky. So I think they just booked on a fly, and that's where we ended up. But Kevin Owens is a great example. You know, very hardworking guy. Is he a world champion?
I'm gonna say yes.
In the terms of not us, right? Like, I'm not talking about us, but in the terms of what. When you think of a wrestling world champion, what do you picture? And I think they've gone off of that.
He fits the. They have gone off of that. He fits the mold. I think you. All right. So let's do this real quick.
Yeah.
Top five guys in WWE who you would say that guy looks, feels, and talks, looks, and acts like a world champ.
Okay, you're talking currently wrestling there, right? Not
currently wrestling there.
I will tell you right now. Roman Reigns, right? Okay. 100%. Seth Rollins, no matter how boring he gets, I would say 100%.
Okay.
I would say Big E, 100% to me. a world champion. Keith Lee, 100% a world champion. Drew, 100% a world champion. Randy Orton, 100% a world champion. I want to throw another one in there from the younger guys. AJ Styles. There you go. I mean, I said younger guys. He's not a younger guy, but I would say AJ's a champion. I could see him as a champion. I could see Daniel Bryan with another run. You know, these are guys that some are smaller, some are bigger, but they have the presence of a champion. You know who? And people are going to think nuts. The Miz. The Miz.
He walks the walk and talks the talk.
He walks the walk and talks the talk. No matter how what you think of him, he still has the presence of a champion. Mm-hmm. Would I put the title at him? No. If I were to tell you the top three, four guys right now, it would have to be Roman Reigns, Drew, Randy as their world champions. These are guys that carry themselves as a world champion. They don't really have that. I think they could get that with Big E. I think Big E could be a very successful long-term champion in that company. He needs to be done properly, though. This guy is very well liked.
How about NXT? Who would you throw in there on NXT?
Finn, obviously, right? The NXT side is easy because you don't really because you're the it's the workers' title.
Well, I should rephrase that. Who do you see transitioning from the NXT roster to that main roster to hold those big belts?
That's a great question, right? I don't know about Karrion Kross, right? Because because he got hurt. I can't tell you that. But people get mad again. Would you say Adam Cole has that possibility as being a world a recognizable world champion, a guy that holds the belt and people are like, that's the man.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's harder on the NXT side. I would have said Matt Riddle had a real opportunity. I would have said Keith Lee had an opportunity. If you're going backwards, I would say Andrade would definitely be a guy that could be a world champion there. Like in general, right? That transitions and becomes a top act.
Here's another question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I like this. I'm enjoying this, by the way.
Same here. Given the landscape of just WWE wrestling right now, right? Do you think it's a case of them putting that belt on people whose presence is so unattainable that it would be impossible for an Adam Cole to be champion? For example, Brock Lesnar having that belt and not showing up on TV, the current Roman Reigns storyline, because where do you go from there? Somebody like The Fiend holding that belt. When you compare almost like apples and oranges and you put Roman Reigns and Adam Cole in a room, as much as we love Adam Cole, I'm going to agree with you in the point, like, who stands out to you as like, yo, this guy is like a video game character. He's an unbeatable champion. This guy looks the part, talks the part, and he kind of represents that, like, that otherworldly bigness that a belt should have, right?
Yeah. By the way, I just want to say, before I get the email, tell me I'm wrong here.
I'm
giving you, like, Adam Cole, Pete Dunne, Gargano, all these guys. Yeah. I love these guys. They're unbelievable. And this is only my opinion. I'm not telling you this is how you should think. This is just my opinion on this. At the moment, I could change, you know, we all change our opinions. This is how I feel right now. But I think you hit the nail on the head here. These guys are so unobtainable. The Brock Lesnars and the Roman Reigns. These are... You know, forget about, I think this version of Roman Reigns is I got to say, one thing WWE has done so well is this Roman Reigns.
Absolutely.
I have forgotten about how I didn't really want him as a champion. I love him as a champion. I think, and if this, and by the way, all this run will be determined on how you end it. On that WrestleMania match. That is what's going to determine this run. Now, whether or not he does do that Rock match, it's going to play a key factor on the legacy of this run, honestly. I think if he does have that Rock match, and whether or not he beats The Rock or loses to The Rock, that's going to be the defining moment of Roman's, you know, top veteran end of his career. Like, he's in the point of being a vet, right? Mm-hmm. He's been wrestling for a number of years. This guy went through the John Cena program, became the top guy. People loved him. It's exactly what it was. He was a heel. People loved him. He turned babyface. All of a sudden, everybody hated him because he wasn't what people wanted. And now it's what people want. They like this character of him. So I think you're right. I think they've created, you know, the top guys are so unobtainable within size and imaging. And, you know, they're cartoons, like you said, the video game characters. Where when you have a guy like Gargano show up, you're going to tell me, and I'm not saying me, I'm saying the casual viewer, which is lacking. They're gone. 1.4 million viewers on the third hour is abysmal. No matter what you say, pre-COVID, post-COVID, the news is on. This was never a discussion that we had 20 years ago. We never turned on Raw during the boom period and said, well, you know, Rich, Monday Night Football was a great football game, and that's why they suffered these numbers. No.
Right.
They're suffering these numbers because people are tuning out. So they've dwindled the audience to a core viewership where how do you get these guys back? You know, my answer to this is create larger-than-life characters that captivate us. You're not going to be able to do that with Johnny Gargano, unfortunately.
I disagree with that. I think you can, but again, it's like when that WWE scripture is written. It's set in stone. This is who we want to push. It doesn't matter who anybody else is. Roman's a great example of that. Roman, Bray Wyatt, AJ Styles, I think, is one of those guys that really impressed the shit out of the office and he burst through the glass ceiling that was apparently set for him. Right. Yeah. Because Vince doesn't like those dudes that aren't Vince guys.
He has AJ a southern came in, twang. He's little, you know.
Right. AJ came in as a non-Vince product and ended up becoming a world champ. He is well on his way to a WWE Hall of Fame career. Right. So you have these flukes that are very interesting that are undeniable. Right. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, on, let's say, AEW, for example, do you think there is an integrity to that belt? And do you think they're going to keep it aligned with your bigger stars? Or will you see within the next year, like a Jungle Boy get that belt?
You know, that's a great question. No, that's a phenomenal question because I was thinking of that when during this whole NXT conversation. I was thinking, okay, well, we need to now discuss AEW's situation because they have a very unique blend of talent there. They do have this big, large size guys, which a lot of people didn't envision they would. And I also think people have, you know, a lot of these WWE guys that have gone over there are deceivingly gigantic.
Exactly.
Like Cody is huge. Goldust, Dustin is a monster in size. Moxley, which in WWE's, Moxley in WWE is just like a normal size guy. He's not like a big dude. He's gigantic here. So it shows you that the size difference, right? But they have done a very good job at making you know, these champions are long-term champions. We've had two champions so far. Chris Jericho, inaugural champion to bring, you know, the lineage of his career to that title. You've had Jon Moxley, a WWE guy, WWE world champion, now is a champion, and we're obviously going to see Kenny and other people, but you know, keeping that title sacred is going to go a very long way for them.
Right.
Okay. Putting that title on a Jungle Boy now, not a good idea. This guy's great, you know, put on some size. He's tall too. He's a good looking kid, great hair, very athletic. Put on some size, and it's going to be a whole different story about him in 5 to 6 years. They need to do that. I think the other thing, like the TNT title, however, should be that title. You know, every now and then you inject one of these guys with that title, a Cody or whatever, just to kind of elevate the other guys fighting for it. But, you know, I wouldn't say Darby Allin should have that title, but, you know, they have other plans. Do you think Darby Allin should have that title right now?
The TNT title?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I do like that he has the title. I think it's something kind of cool. It also is a testament to their relationship with the network, you know, where if you look at TNT's social media, it's very, very hyped with what AEW does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot of synergy. That's a perfect word. It's a lot of synergy between the network and the show. And it seems like they're really happy with the product, you know, and again, like we've talked about this a lot, is that AEW has a good habit of over delivering. You know, there are definitely some stuff that as a wrestling fan, there are some things where I'm like, ah, this is whatever it is. But if you keep an open mind, I think Darby Allin is a good example of them doing something interesting that you wouldn't see on the competitor's program, or you wouldn't even see it in like another company. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Marv in our chat room, $20. Thank you, Marv.
Thanks, Marv.
That's nice. You are amazing. Yeah. He writes.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. So it's something that you wouldn't see in like a different company. And I'll even throw New Japan in there, where like New Japan has such a tradition of integrity with all their for the most part, mm-hmm. with their world title and their intercontinental title, and even their U.S. title at this point. You know, like there's integrity to those belts. I wouldn't see New Japan throw the intercontinental title onto like what's his name from Bullet Club, or the guy like Pimp Juice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, no, listen, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
But let's focus on AEW here, right? Like, what the thing about AEW right now is that they have a very strong mid card that's not tapped in yet. So the way that they're doing this is interesting. They have like Luke Harper, right? Brody Lee. Brian Cage. Let's see who else. Lance Archer. Right? Give me another mid-carder there. Nice sized mid-carder.
Ricky Starks.
He's small. Well, he's getting there. Yeah, okay, Ricky Starks.
QT Marshall.
Well, he's being built, right? QT Marshall is interesting. He's on the bottom end, but he's being used to elevate other talent. By the way, that bunkhouse match, out of control yesterday, huh?
Amazing.
Blood and guts. It was phenomenal. But again, that whole thing, Miro, another mid-carder, right? They have a strong mid-card that they haven't really done much with. They're struggling on that side because these guys are bouncing around in their feuds. These guys should be all working towards getting to the world title. And that's the thing that you're seeing now, is that they're all saying, like, I'm a contender for this title. I'm a contender here. Stop with the BS. Right. You know, I'm ranked number five. This ranking, I like a lot.
I like that, yeah. I like that.
I'm ranked number five, but I haven't been given a title shot. But you have all these dopes getting title shots here.
Now is the time, like, finally it paid off, right? It's starting to pay off. Where you're kind of getting that ranking system is coming into play, where they're like, yo, listen, I'm like 3-0, or like I'm 6-0. Like, where's my shot? You know, like, I thought this was supposed to be a sport with stats. So it works. It adds legitimacy to their programming. And I do enjoy that a lot of the stuff that AEW does adds quote unquote legitimacy to pro wrestling. You know, Moxley and Kingston calling it a sport, I think, does tremendous for it. The stat thing. Yeah. Like, it's starting to come into play now, like we were just saying, that does well for it. And you have like these veterans helping the young guys. It's a very interesting dynamic over there.
It's a very different show. Again, it's very different. Pac, Pac returning, big help to the company. You know, I think they have a very, you know, Penta, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very strong mid card that they need to kind of focus a little bit, and they're getting there. You know, they're getting their bearings in order. It's only been a year. It's hard to determine what AEW does, but on the WWE side, they need to kind of regroup how they're doing this, because whatever they're doing is not working.
In what way?
Well, gaining new viewership for starters. You know, they're doing okay on Fox, but it should be in the 3 million mark. Again, I think they're also spread thin. They got 5 hours of wrestling a week on TV. Their major product is 5 hours. Mm-hmm. They split the rosters, so you're obviously not getting the best of the best on every show. You're getting a combination of just, you know, a couple top guys here, a couple top guys there, and they're just relying really heavy on the top end. They may need to reevaluate the brand split and how they do it. I've always said, if you're not ready for TV, you shouldn't be on there. If you're not a draw, you shouldn't be on there yet. You should work your way up there. And I don't know. It's a very different world right now with COVID and everything. I'm guessing from what I'm seeing that they're not really going to be a house show company anymore. They're not going to be a live entertainment company because they've laid off everybody. So even in the foreseeable future, going forward, they're not going to be running, you know, all these house shows. Maybe they're going to be, you know, they'll do their TV. They'll have, you know, Raw and SmackDown, and maybe they'll have two house shows a week or one house show a week.
Okay. That, I mean, like, that's the smart plan. But also, I think in the future, once things start to let up and, you know, we can kind of see, like, the light at the end of the tunnel, I do think that they're going to try to recoup as much money as possible by maybe even doing, like, a half a schedule, you know? Maybe it's not two house shows, like you were saying. Maybe it's three house shows and, like, a double on Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of like, we have to remember that they are a corporation, you know? And they're not in the business to make fans happy. They're in the business to make themselves money, which is also a reason why, to go back to our point at the beginning of the episode, that's also the reason why you don't have those organic pushes anymore. Yeah. You know, because if it's written in stone, they're going to do whatever they got to do. They're still going to make as much money as possible. They're still going to do well on merch sales. It's an unstoppable machine at this point. You know what I mean? So fan service is pretty much out the window for WWE, you know? For NXT, however, yeah, I think that's where you would get the cool stuff, right? Yeah. That's where you get the two sweets between Adam Cole and Finn Balor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. As opposed to like SmackDown and Raw, where you had those opportunities a million times between AJ Styles, Finn Balor, Gallows, and Anderson, right?
Yeah.
That's something that would have been perfect fan service. But guess what? WWE does not give a shit about fan service. I'm not saying they don't care about the fans. They don't care about fan service.
No,
they big don't. Difference.
Yeah. Last night's AEW was pretty good. I find the so there was a lot of moving parts here on the show. Pac returning, obviously,
and so Ray good
Kingston, which I like. That Cody segment was strange. What did you make of that? That the reveal was that Shaquille O'Neal is in AEW.
I thought that was like really weird. You know, like I'm not gonna poo-poo the segment. You know, I think this was her first time cutting a promo.
Not
on
easy.
Like live television. Not easy. But I think the benefit is that the Jade Cargill looks like $1 billion.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally jacked. I thought Brandy cut a phenomenal. I mean, Brandy was very good. Shockingly, she was very good in this. But the reveal that Shaq is
no
coming.
Whatever.
Okay. I get it. Well, I get it because NBA's coming back soon, right?
And absolutely.
That's the TNT brand crossover, which it's fine. That's fine. Totally fine. I just found it weird how it was done.
That's fan service to a weird extent, like we were just talking about. Shaq's a commentator for the NBA, right? So I think in a weird way, it does make sense. MG Geek texted me, Mr. Gonzo. He was like, hey, who's Shaq? And I had to tell him like who Shaq was. It was very awkward.
Well, he's very ill right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
MG Geek big ups is very sick.
Big ups to Mr. Gonzo.
He's going to become Mr. Gonzo soon.
Oh, no.
I hope not.
So the Shaq thing is really weird. I thought he was going to come out. It would have been cool if he had to duck under the tunnel and then cut. And he cut like a weird promo too, you know, being
he's
like
on next week. He's on next week, apparently.
Yeah. Hey, Cody Rhodes, you're donezo.
Hey, Cody Rhodes, you're donezo.
That's a terrible Shaq impression.
No, both of us did a bad one.
Mine's good.
Kobe.
Yours is
Kobe.
Terrible.
Kobe. 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 Dude, it's fine. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I thought it was a good show. I thought it was a decent show. Brian Cage looks like an animal. You know, they got a lot of these guys. They just got to move them around a little bit and figure it out. I think a lot of it has a lot to do with the fact that they've been in the same building. And a lot of this has to do with crowd reaction. You know, the fact that, you know, great example of booking and changing everything. By the way, that was a good Charles Barkley I did. I did a good Charles Barkley. You did a better Shaq.
Yeah, you're kind of fishing for compliments on that.
I am. I want a compliment. Give me a compliment, please.
I acknowledge you did a voice that wasn't your own, and it was great.
Love it. we'll see what happens. But I thought it was a decent show. I enjoyed it. Let's see. Oh, so let's talk about WWE and what their situation is with the Thunderdome before we go in our Q&A segment here for people want to join in on this. You can submit your questions in the chat room. I'm going to post it right here. Submit them in the chat on YouTube, and we'll do our best to answer your questions. WWE is in a weird situation right now because they don't have a venue yet, and they have to leave the Thunderdome at the end of November, and I believe they have about a week or two of a grace period. So I believe December 4th-ish is there. They need to be out of there. Okay. Right now, the story is that Tropicana Field will be the place, because they're in Central Florida, they're in St. Pete's. Mm-hmm. It's an indoor stadium. It's an indoor baseball stadium. But I'm very interested to see how they freaking do this, because it's a large building, and that would maybe allow them to have people there. It's a dome. So maybe that's the plan here.
I think they're going to go more towards like the AEW route, where it's like limited 1,000 people and kind of like scatter them throughout whatever arena they go to.
Yeah, I think so.
Or would it be more like what they're doing on NXT and kind of have the pods with different people in it?
I like the NXT approach, to be honest, because it gives you to feel that people are there, and you're kind of blending it with the screen. So I think it is possible to do it. But you got to remember, Tropicana Field is about 45,000 people fit in there. So they would technically be able to do 25% of that, and that's 10,000 people in the building, technically.
Okay.
Right? They could do it.
Yeah.
Whether or not they do 10,000, I do not think they're going to want to do it right now with, you know, the COVID numbers going up PR-wise. Regardless if you think it's bullshit or it's fine or it's not fine, PR-wise, it doesn't look good for you to pack 10,000 people in a building right now. So
not
maybe they'll do a couple thousand, you know, having 1,000, 2,000 people, that'll kind of change the vibe of the thing. Also, I don't know what other venues they have available. The plan was to leave Florida. Texas was always a consideration, but Texas's numbers are terrible. You know, no matter where you go, Chicago was another thing to run a show in Chicago. Illinois is doing bad with the numbers. So right now, they're a product without a home. You know, they could always go back to the Performance Center and do something there. I don't think they will. I think they want this larger-than-life feel because the numbers did go up with the Thunderdome. It did help them. I mean, that is documented proof that the aesthetic of the Thunderdome did increase the numbers. And it did change the vibe, because I started watching way more than when they were in the Performance Center.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, same here. I think the Performance Center right out the gate was just drab. And they panicked. They didn't know what to do. And you know what? I'll still laugh at that segment that Byron Saxton did with Stone Cold.
Oh, my God. It was so bad.
Listen, I enjoyed it, but that was it. And then like it's tough, man. Like, these, we talked about this last week, the performers had to deal with basically their bread and butter being taken away from them, which is a crowd reaction, right? It's tough. I feel like it must have been tough for a veteran like AJ Styles to go out there, who is so good at manipulating the crowd, to just kind of talk to no one and not get any feedback except for like the four walls around you, you know?
Yeah. Let's see. Q&A time, boys and girls. All right, Rich, you want to read the questions? Because I don't know how to read.
What are your thoughts about, I'm glad you finally admit that. What are your thoughts about Tony Khan's big teases?
Dude, why are people losing their minds over Tony Khan? This is something new.
He's got a lot of hate.
He has a ton of hate, and I don't get it. The dude is not on TV. He's always in the back. Like, I don't get what the guttural reaction to Tony Khan is. I actually find it bizarre.
I find it bizarre,
such
too.
A reaction to Tony Khan and, you know, him sending a tweet or making a comment. I think people are digging. People that don't like AEW don't want to like him. I think people like what they like. They don't. It's just human nature. It's a team sport. Everything is a team sport. We saw that with this election, no matter how long your team is or how right your team is. So I think that plays a big part in it. And I think people just don't like his fucking face.
You know,
I think that's what it is.
I agree with you for the most part. You know what I think it is? I think it's people are so used to seeing their wrestling promoters be completely bonzo bananas people, and Tony Khan is legit a reasonable adult human being.
He's a guy you see normally every day.
He seems like a really nice guy. He doesn't really do much media. He doesn't show up on TV, right? He once a month when there's like an event or whatever, he'll do the AEW podcast and talk about the card, right? Or he'll say like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, like, oh, check this out. This is going to be great. Hey, by the way. And you know what drives me a little nuts about the Tony Khan hate? He's actually saying exactly what wrestling fans want, and they hate him for it. Where he's saying, yeah, totally, dude, I'll work with the NWA. Oh, totally, dude, I'll work with New Japan. Oh, Ring of Honor, no problem. The other day, I think he had an interview saying, I would like it if we used AEW programming to build climaxes for other companies, you know, like to have them be a stage for storyline climaxes for like a Ring of Honor, an NWA, or New Japan. As a wrestling fan, when I hear that, I go fucking gaga, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get it.
Here's the other thing. Give me a first-year wrestling promoter that has been able to accomplish what he did.
Exactly.
Right? I don't care where the money came from and the team. Give me a first-year wrestling promoter that's been able to accomplish what he did. It's impossible. He got a tremendous... Mm-hmm. And forget about TNA. This weird, bizarro TNA comparison baffles me. TNA was a Southern promotion on nonsense television until Dixie Carter's family funded it, and Spike pretty much picked it up because as an FU to WWE, because they were so mad at WWE, they gave them an opportunity. So they were never, and they had the amount of star power TNA had at one point. No excuse on how it executed and how it happened. It just shows he was people not really knowing what they're doing. But TNA never had a $45, $65 million deal on a major network like TNT. They never had the pay-per-view buy rates in a not. And by the way, they were in the pay-per-view world, right? They existed when pay-per-view was the thing. I think the most they ever had was like 35,000 or 60, something very small. And AEW is doing that, doing 100,000 buys. When people don't want to pay $50 for a pay-per-view, we've been retrained into not paying it. So when you compare the two, there's no comparison here. It's a very different company, very different philosophy. And, you know, listen, regardless of what you think, you got to applaud this guy. It takes way more than just good wrestling matches to run a wrestling promotion. It's been 1 year in, and we've seen a lot of positive. So, you know, I'm hopeful that this company continues on this track. You never know. But so far, so good.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Andrew.
Yeah.
All right, next question. You ready?
Yeah.
From Corey, will Moxley lose the title on December 2nd so he can quarantine for 2 weeks to go to Wrestle Kingdom and face Kenta? Great question.
Will Moxley lose the title on December 2nd so he could quarantine for 2 weeks and wrestle? I don't think he needs to lose the title, right? I mean, is that the date he's facing Kenny?
Yes, they're doing it on TV.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome. That's a pay-per-view caliber match.
We were talking about that, right? We were saying how it's going to be a very long way to that pay-per-view.
Right. So this is like the interim big match moment, right? Like Kenny versus Mox 2 in a quote-unquote wrestling match, a pro wrestling match.
Yeah. What if he beats Kenny? I don't know. Yeah, I definitely think he's going to go and drop that title over there or do something, because he won't wrestle in North America. I don't know why he won't wrestle in North America. I know his contract says he can for New Japan, but I think that's silly today to do that. Listen, I think that's a possibility. What do you think? Should he do it?
I think that's kind of cool. You know, listen, I love Mox with the title. Him and Jericho are going to get that title again. You know, there's no question about it. So I think it's time to have that transition. You have the pedigree of that title being Trish Jericho and John Moxley. Why not add Kenny Omega? And also, the Kenny Omega character at this point is saying, hey, listen, I'm the best bout machine I'm the face of the magazines. I kind of want that back. I think it's a good idea to have him. Honestly, I really do think it's a good idea to have him and the Bucks hold those three titles just to say, like, hey, we did it. Look at us. Yeah. We did this from scratch. We've toiled and toiled and toiled, and here we are. And you know what? Kenny can lose that title to MJF, Chris Jericho, back to Moxley, you know, the Pac. Yeah, there's anybody. Pac. There's tons of leeway for what to do. Mox could retain that U.S. title, and I think it would be cool if he brought that New Japan U.S. title to AEW for a quick run, face Lance Archer, face Eddie Kingston, face your big proponents of like that Japanese style, right?
And then go from there. Yeah.
And then go from there. Let's see what else we got here.
Hold on. I think we skipped a couple up here. When do you think we'll see live shows at MSG? 2022 or 2023?
2025.
For wrestling. Definitely WWE wants to run it, because I heard from somebody from over there. They want to run it in September 2021. They're hopeful that they're going to be able to run September 2021. So that's saying that, vaccine comes out, people get it. By March, this thing is nearly gone. You know, there's a lot of what ifs here, but the goal is to do 2021 September for sure at the Garden for WWE. Here's one for you. Who is the most ready currently in NXT for a call-up, Rich?
Oh, for a call up to the main roster?
Yeah.
Honestly, if this was 3 months ago, or however long it was, I don't know. We're still living in your coma time bubble.
Yes.
Which we're going to check in on after this question.
Okay.
I would have said Velveteen Dream.
Prior to everything happening.
Prior to the allegations and all that stuff, yeah. I would have said this guy is the most ready to be on the main roster.
Yeah, big time main roster act. You're right.
You know who else I like that I feel like is a decent main roster act?
Who?
The Cartel.
Oh yeah, good.
Yeah, like Santos Escobar and like those dudes. What about you?
Yeah, I think those are good. I would have said Karrion Kross, but I haven't seen him yet. You know what I mean? Like, we really haven't seen him. But if this run was successful, we saw, you know, him doing well. I would say him and definitely Velveteen prior to everything happening. But again, I would have said Keith Lee. I would have said Matt Riddle. Mm-hmm. I would have said, Undisputed Era as a main event act. But, you know, it's a very hit or miss situation.
All right. Next question.
Go back to him. Yeah.
Is it fair to say Toni Storm is going to be a massive star for WWE?
I would say yes.
She got the goods.
She does. She's very good. She's very, very good. But they got to pull the trigger like sooner than later with her.
Okay.
Because she, remember, her gimmick is that she's like this cutesy young tomboy? Lady. Tomboy, yeah. It's very difficult to do that when you're 30. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They got only a couple years with this gimmick, and then she could do something else. Rhea Ripley has more longevity with her gimmick now because she's just a lunatic. But I think they got to do Toni Storm now. I think they need to bring her up now.
Who's the babyface, Pac or Eddie Kingston?
I think it's Pac, because remember, Eddie's doing that you're my best friend stuff, which, by the way, that is the greatest gimmick ever, because there's so many people I know like him that call everybody their best friend.
Oh, yeah, this guy's my best friend over here.
Yeah. And the way he kicked Phoenix out of the ring, so he's definitely the heel in this, and Pac is, coming to put his, what was his team called?
Death Triangle.
The Death Triangle, yeah.
We talked about this last week, where one of the possibilities we mentioned was Pac coming back to steal his buddies back from Eddie Kingston, and I kind of like that. I like where it's going. Keep Kingston a career heel in AEW, man. That guy's great. Yeah. Great match on Sunday. A loss does not hurt Eddie Kingston because of his character. You know, like, he's a guy that will just keep fighting, right?
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I want to go back because we have a couple here. Do you see AEW adding more fans in the next few months? I believe they had over 1,000 fans at Full Gear. I think that's going to be their cap at 20. Yeah. You know, if they're doing it, I don't think they feel comfortable right now adding more than that. That was a lot of people. I think they had like 1,100 people. It was over 1,000 for sure for the pay per view. That's cool for the pay per views. You know, they're having a difficult time drawing for the TV, because remember, it's static. It's in Jacksonville. There's no tourism happening. People aren't flying in. So you're just getting that local, you know, group of people that are going to each show. They would want to. I mean, if I could see them doing it if things get better.
The Dynamite Zone.
Yeah.
You know, like the one cringy thing was from watching Full Gear with you the other day was when they would accidentally cut to the people in the audience who had their masks down, you know, and I'm like, just keep it on for 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's it. You could do it. You can keep it. Don't put it on under your nose. Just put it on your face.
I'm going to put it on my penis. How about that?
You're going to put it on your penis like the guy from the New Yorker?
Yes, that's the guy from the New Yorker did that. Yeah.
How's your, let's check in with the coma. How's it going?
Terrible. I'm still in it.
You still in it? Is it still 1956?
It's still 1950. I'm in a bizarre world. I'm Tony Soprano selling, you know, vacuum cleaners door to door in black and white. That's what I'm seeing right now.
Now, what if you were actually one of the Wright brothers and it's 1911 and you got conked in the head by
this is all my imagination.
You got conked in the head at Kitty Hawk and you're trying to be the first man to fly and you're actually Orville Wright right now.
Oh man. That would be some wake up.
You dreamt of the internet. You dreamt of pro wrestling. The last pro wrestling match you saw was it was in a carnival, and it inspired you to think of the internet. Pro wrestling. You dreamed Ric Flair up somehow.
I dreamed up Hulk Hogan.
You dreamed up Hogan.
Write about him? How would I describe? Like, I'm writing a book now of my dreams, my fever dreams. Uh-huh. It's called Fever Dreams. And I'm describing this yellow human being.
Mm-hmm.
This monstrous yellow human being with arms the size of legs.
It sounds very Lovecraftian.
Yeah, it is. It's very Lovecraftian. I love it. Go ahead.
You also somehow dreamed that you came to America on a boat from Armenia.
Just on a flying ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a flying ship. A vessel in the air.
Let's see what else we got here. Was it worth the wait for the Bucks and FTR match? That's from Large 23.
Yeah, I think they did a great job with it. I thought it was a phenomenal match. They told a great story within the match where the Revival, their whole thing was no flips. You know, what is it? No flips, no just fists?
Well, after
and
that
he did
big
the flip.
It was it went from no flips, just fists to no flips, yes flips.
Yeah. So, but I think that was part of the story that a lot of people missed, that these guys have been talking about how they're traditional pro wrestlers and they hate this new style of doing flips. And the dude freaking does a 450 splash off the top rope because of desperation and how he wants to win this. He ended up doing the thing that he hates. And guess what? It costed him the match. I thought that was unbelievable. The great, great storytelling with that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the match. And you know what? Again, much like the rest of the pro wrestling landscape now, you know it's going to happen again.
What? Oh, a rematch?
Bucks and FTR Part 2. Do you think FTR is going to go to the World Tag League in New Japan?
I don't know. I don't know what that relationship is right now. I'm hearing two things. I'm hearing that, the door is open and they're working together. And then I'm hearing nothing yet. So it depends on who you're talking to. Definitely the guys, the wrestlers want to work there. Mm-hmm. I know Kenny is very burnt by New Japan. The way that they handled him at the end was not good. And I think the Bucks and I think all those guys kind of hold that resentment also. But listen, they're working with Moxley, they're working with Archer. I don't know so much Archer now, but they're working with Moxley and they're working with Jericho, two top guys in the company. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, let's segue that into the other question. Mm-hmm. Unless I just like had a brain fart.
What?
Cody referenced himself as the ace.
I don't know.
Corey asks, with Cody referencing himself as the ace last week, could we see him versus Tanahashi now that Harold Mage has exited New Japan? Like a little bit of a teaser, right?
I don't know. Was it? Did you think that? I don't know. I didn't take it as a tease. I didn't take it as a teaser at all.
When I hear Ace in terms of wrestling, I do think of Tanahashi.
I always think of Tanahashi. Yeah. So him right. to use it, I don't know.
So I think that would be kind of cool. You saw like a little bit of that before, and I think those are two guys that could have a very, very stellar match with each other. What do you think about the Rascals signing with WWE now that they're done with Impact?
I saw that. I don't know what they're going to do. But NXT bound, you know? They're a good act. Mm-hmm. NXT bound. I think Ethan Page is going to be a good acquisition for any company right now.
Okay.
I think he's the name from Impact that stands out to me. I've seen him on the Independence for years. This guy really got shredded. Yeah. He worked really hard. He's in great shape, and he's a very good, I mean, well-rounded wrestler, and he's young, so I think there's a lot of potential with him. Impact has been doing some really good stuff. I can't commit to it as much as I would like to, but right. every time I watch it, there's stuff interesting. I like what I'm seeing with them. I don't know where their place is here, though. I don't know how they could get out of the bubble that they're in.
Okay. I'll agree with you on that. I feel like it's always been tough because Impact kind of, I think after a certain age, you know, it's tough to really sit down and watch everything as it happens. You know, yeah. you kind of need to absorb it in little bits and pieces. I've felt like that about Impact for years and years, you know, like where I was more watching Ring of Honor than catching up with Impact and what's going on, you know. And it's unfortunate too, because Impact has been doing a lot of cool stuff lately.
Yeah. What'd you think about the video game?
I know that it's really cool that they got the Ux guys, and it's really cool that they got the developer or programmer from No Mercy. That little clip was so unpolished that I can't make a good judgment.
Unpolished. Yeah.
Like all the characters look like they need to see a doctor.
Jericho has... he has a gout face and a big fat belly, which I thought, listen, it's a very early, it's not even a beta, right?
Right.
It's a very early couple second clip that they wanted to get out. Obviously, they would have liked to present something a little bit better, but they had committed to presenting this. The story is that it's going to run similar to how No Mercy was. And if you're young, if you're under 30, you really you don't know how instrumental those WCW and WWE THQ games were. It was part of the boom. I a lot of people mistaken when I say that. They're like, how is that possible? I go, well, you got to remember, the video games introduced a lot of these characters to people. I know.
Oh,
I mean, a lot of your friends and my friends, too, they really didn't watch wrestling in that era. But they went over to someone's house, and guess what? WCW versus NWO, they had that game. WCW World Tour, they had that game. And all of a sudden, you started playing.
Hell
and you're
yeah.
like, this game is freaking awesome. And then the same thing happened with WWE when they went over to WrestleMania 2000 and No Mercy.
Yeah.
And 30 years later, we're still talking about this stupid game. Well, 20-something years later, we're still talking about these games. And we have it on a pedestal as one of the greatest wrestling engines out there. So they have a lot of potential with it. The early demo didn't really show much, but I'm hopeful that it's a good wrestling game. Listen, I'd love to have another successful wrestling franchise out there to play.
Absolutely. And all they really have to do is make it look cool, play well, and not be as glitchy as the last few WWE games. You know, if you play those games, they're so effing frustrating just because of how glitchy they could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else we got here? Did you say diggity dog?
Diggity dog.
Is that what you say when you agree with somebody?
Yeah.
Bob Rowe asks, is intern Deegan still invited to Thanksgiving?
No. He's going to eat outside.
He's done. He has no place else to go, though.
No, he's eating outside.
Let's see. What do we got here? Do the Good Brothers win the Impact tag titles and show up in New Japan?
Say that again.
Do the Good Brothers win the Impact titles and show up in New Japan?
Maybe. I know that they're going to be working New Japan.
At some point.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah, Adam, right. by the way, in the chat room says, the controls for modern games are too confusing. I can never figure out how to play, and of course, they don't come with a manual anymore. I said that, and people are like, oh, it's pretty easy. I'm like, if you haven't played these games in 10 years, there is a big learning curve here. Mm-hmm. It's not a pick-up-and-play type game. There is a learning curve, and I think that's something that AEW wants to do, is have it as a pick-up-and-play type game, which if they do that, I'll be very happy.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is Edge working when he says he's had a setback? I haven't heard anything about that. I know the plan was Edge comes back 2021 for a program with Orton, so I don't know what kind of setback he's had. Is it a one? If it's a work, it's a work. Is it a 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, 4 week setback? You know, these things take time, especially when you're older. He's 46, right. 47 years old, and these injuries are not as easy to come back from.
Yeah. I mean, I think he gets his cool moment at some point, and then that's it.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Is that it? Let me just skew this. He has a question for Andrew. Is pisciadiel an Italian word for penis? Yes. Officially. It's an official Italian word.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's it. Do you see Ronda coming back to face Asuka, Anthony S? I know Ronda's been training, so I don't know what her plan is. But I know that WWE would love to have her back as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely, man. They want her because she's a hot commodity, like it or
not. Also, Talk and Shop of Mania 2 is tomorrow on Fight, which I'm looking forward to it because it's such a carny disaster. It's perfect.
We forgot to get Rocky on.
I know. We did forget to get Rocky on. Shit.
It's okay.
Oh, man. Sorry, Rocky.
We'll get him
man.
Next time.
I would have loved to have him on. Maybe after the fact we'll have him on. Yeah. Let me reach out to him today. Does Drew win on Monday? I don't know. I don't think he should, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think Randy needs that title, and they need to figure out who's next to challenge for it. Listen, Edge is the big story here, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an unfinished program. He got hurt. Randy has a title now. What a great story for him to, you know, win that title and do something with somebody younger and put him over. I think that's a very unique concept. You know, these guys should be used in that capacity, 130%. Put these young guys over, have them be profiled and do something big with them. So we'll see what happens. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, guys.
Rich,
yes, sir.
You're appearing on The Tonight Show this weekend, right?
I am on The Tonight Show this weekend. It's on Secret Saturday night and Secret Sunday night. I don't know if you guys knew
perfect.
That.
Perfect. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll see you all later. Take care.